Ruth in chapter number 4. As we look at this passage this morning, we'll have last few lessons from this book, and I've enjoyed getting to teach through it and to learn as we go through the scriptures. And there's more to learn in the scriptures than we'll ever know, because an infinite holy God that knows everything wrote the word of God and gave it to us, and we're never going to understand everything. Don't get discouraged when you read your Bible and you don't understand something. Join the crowd. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, I'm sure this was something that I needed, but I don't know what you're trying to give me today. But as we look in the book of Ruth, we've been looking at this subject of grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. And we are all recipients of the grace of God, and we're all undeserving of the grace of God as well. And we learn of this story of Ruth, this Moabitess, that she married into the family of Naomi and married one of the sons, dad passed away, the sons passed away, and so now you have Naomi left and her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, and Orpah stays there in Moab, but Ruth says, I'm going to go with you wherever you go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you stay, I will stay. Where you die, I'll die. But most importantly, she said, but your God will be my God. And that's the best decision that she made. And that's the best decision any of us will ever make, that the true God would be your God. To believe in God is one thing. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. But for God to become your God is when it becomes personal at salvation. But then secondly, at surrender, to where you say, God is my God. And you follow him, and he's your father, and he's your savior, of course. And so we receive that grace of God. And as Ruth was welcomed in the family of Naomi, and they came back to Bethlehem, Judah, they came back at a time of plenty, a time of harvest. Remember, they left at a time of famine. And so when they come back, they really came back at a time of harvest, but they didn't have anything. And so they came back, and Ruth went out to the fields to go to gather the gleanings, the extra that was left over, and she would gather that and bring it back home. And God led Ruth to Boaz. And aren't you thankful for the leading of God? You don't always know the when, the why, the where. You don't always know the details. Don't get caught up in all of needing to know all the details. Are any of you, you're the detail person, you're the planner, the scheduler? You know, I'm not one of those wing it kind of people. I'm more of the planner. And so when it comes to the Lord, sometimes like, okay, God, when and where and how? And God says, just trust me. Just have faith. I've got it under control. And just giving that over to God and saying, God, whatever you have for me. And God took care of Naomi, right? God took care of Ruth. He didn't leave them destitute. Remember, they were following God. And that's a place of God's provision and God's blessings, are when you follow God and you trust God. That's where God says, I'm going to take care of you. Many times we go without when we wander from God. When we leave God, and as they left and they went to Moab for many years, they went out and they had nothing. And they came back to a place of plenty. And so Ruth was directed to Boaz by God's leading. And Ruth, when she came to Boaz by Naomi, her mother-in-law's leading, and she said, go that night and lay at his feet. And we read the story from the last chapter. Won't go through it all. But Boaz said, I would like to redeem you. And he would purchase their land, but also he would purchase Ruth, and she would become his wife. And so we see the grace of Boaz on her life. This grace was offered to Ruth, but it had to be received by Ruth. Same thing in our lives, that God offers his grace, and his grace is offered to all. Aren't you thankful for that? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world. God's grace is for all, but just because it's offered to all doesn't mean it's received by all. Salvation is received by those that choose to put their faith in him. God's blessings and protection on our lives are by those that receive it and follow his word and follow his leading. But she was willing to receive that grace. And Boaz was a picture and is a picture of Jesus. And Ruth is the picture of the Christian, a lost person. And Jesus is our our kinsman redeemer. He would be our Savior. We are undeserving of His love, His favor, His mercy, His grace, His redemption. But us, kind of like Ruth, a stranger from Moab, coming to a strange land, to Judah, she had no business being there. But by the mercy and grace of Boaz, she would then become part of his family. So that's a bit of the background for those that maybe haven't been here for each of the lessons. And so the story ended in chapter 3 that Ruth had come that night and laid at his feet, appropriate. She was a virtuous woman. And she offered and said, like, would you want to redeem me and me to become your wife? And he said, I will do that. But he said, there's a closer kinsman than I. He said, let me go check with that closer family member because they have the first duty of redemption. And then I would come after that. And Boaz was a righteous man. He feared God, and he knew the word of God through the scriptures that we'll read. And we'll see here now how Boaz is going to go and check with this family member that was closer relation to Naomi and to Ruth than he was, to see if he could then become her redeemer. So we're going to look at this passage today about grace enjoyed. Grace enjoyed. Grace was offered. Grace was received, but now it is enjoyed. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy those times of getting to enjoy God's blessings and going out with the kids and spending time in the backyard or spending time with your family or going out in God's beautiful creation and just get to enjoy the goodness of God. And that's what we're going to look at today, the grace enjoyed in our lives. So we're going to read chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, if you follow along as I read the verses here. Ruth chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his palace ye are witnesses this day. There is nothing that tells the story of Scripture like the Bible itself. And we'll read the next part of the verses in the coming weeks. But as Boaz goes to perform the duty of redemption, of purchasing Ruth to be his wife and the inheritances of and the land of Naomi and of her husband Elimelech and the sons Chilion and Mahlon, he goes there and he's going to perform the duties of being the redeemer. And remember, when Ruth came home the night before, she came home with 6 measures of food, and she came back home and Naomi said, just rest and wait, because she said Boaz will not rest until he's taken care of this matter. And so we see that Boaz goes to the gate, and he goes and stands there, and he waits till this near kinsman comes. We don't know his name, but he waits there and waits there and waits there. How long, we don't know. And he waited till he came by. And you see in verse number 1, he said, oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned and sat down. He was waiting for this specific person that was nearer of family relation than he was. And we're going to see how he would go through this process of doing things properly, of doing things decently, doing things biblically. It's amazing how many times Christians even will do things their own way instead of God's way. Well, there's a right and a decent and a wise and biblical way to handle matters. And when you don't, we make a mess of things, don't we? You ever gone to do something and you thought, well, you know, it's not really telling a big lie. You know, they may not really know. And we go and get ourselves into trouble instead of just doing it the biblical way. Boaz could have said, well, I'm going to redeem her. No one else knows. But he said, I'm going to do this thing the right way. And God would bless him doing this the right way as going to purchase her to be his wife and their inheritance and things. So this grace enjoyed, first of all, it involves a person. It involves a person. Remember this again, as we mentioned, that Jesus is a picture, or Boaz is a picture of Jesus, our Redeemer. And us were a picture of Ruth, the Moabitess, a stranger in this land. And so this picture of redemption, of Boaz redeeming her to be his wife, is a picture of Jesus Christ redeeming us and purchasing us to be part of his family. Realizing this, that none of us are deserving to be a part of the family of God, right? None of us are deserving of the grace of God, of salvation, being a child of God. None of us are deserving of that, but God in his love and his mercy went out of his way to offer redemption and love for you and me. But it involves a person. Understand this, that no one else could have purchased our redemption but Jesus Christ. No one else could have purchased our redemption, not another angel, not another person. Only through God's only begotten Son could we be redeemed. Many times people think that somehow they could work their way into heaven, but no one can work their way into the grace of God because we're all sinners. So we are undeserving and we are hopeless without the Redeemer. And that's the same place that Ruth was at. She was a stranger, unable to purchase her own redemption. So we must rely on Jesus, our Savior, to purchase our redemption. We looked in previous lessons the requirements of a kinsman. The kinsman, first of all, this Redeemer must be, first of all, related. Must be family. If someone passed away, the other family would then come and be there to try to help and take care of them. Maybe to take that wife to be their own wife, if that was the case. Or they would watch out for their family. So first of all, the kinsman must be related. But second, the kinsman Redeemer must be rich. Meaning this, that he would have to purchase the inheritance of Naomi, of Elimelech, her husband, and of Mahlon and Chilion. He had to purchase all those things. So he had to have the means to pay for that. And again, you may want to help somebody, but not be able to help them. You ever, you know, if someone that has a need, they have a difficulty, they have a struggle, and you think, man, I'd love to do something, but what can I do? And so we get to that place where Boaz was able to be the Redeemer to purchase the inheritance. Not only did he need to be related, but rich, but also ready. He needed to be willing to redeem her. See, Boaz could have refused Ruth's offer, but instead he was willing and he was ready. So this involves a person, and understand this, that Boaz was willing to redeem. In chapter 3, verse 13, if you look at this, and looking at the previous lesson, that night when Ruth came to his place and laid at his feet, and remember, Boaz was laying down at the end of a heap of corn. And we learn from that men can sleep anywhere. And I always picture him laying in a bed. He was laying at the end of a heap of corn. Maybe there's a bed there as well. I'm not sure, but I think it's testimony that men could just fall asleep anywhere that we sit. And so he wakes up and he sees Ruth there and he was startled. Who are you? What are you doing here? And she says, I'm Ruth the Moabitess, and told him why she was there. And so in verse number 13, it says that Boaz said to her, he says, tarry this night and it shall be in the morning that if he be, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, this other near kinsman. He says, let him do the kinsman part, but if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And then if you look in verse number 18, as Naomi says to Ruth, and then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Boaz had to be willing to redeem her, and he would go out that night, and he'd go wait by the gate and wait for this man to eventually pass by. As he went there, as you look in verse number 1, it says he went there, found the man. In verse number 2, it says he called 10 men, elders of the city, to come to be with him. Again, Boaz was not concerned with just redeeming Ruth, but again, by doing it the right way. And so as he waited for this man, he brought 10 elders of the city to come together and to be a witness for what was about to happen. And he wasn't trying to get a posse or anything, but he was trying to get people to witness what would happen. And so he gets them there. It does seem that there is an urgency to what Boaz is doing. He didn't say, I'll get to it another day, another week. You ever someone promise you something, and then days go by, weeks go by, and at some point you kind of sheepishly say, hey, remember you were going to help me with that? I'm like, oh, that's right, I'm going to help you. And then they still don't. You're like, you know, I'm just promising help and not helping is quite the opposite of being a helper. But he followed through with what he said. And so he went to the gate and waited for this man, and the 10 elders came by. You know those people that just seem to be in a big hurry to get something completed? For instance, Costco. You go there during the lunch rush hour, whatever it may be, and they've got big carts and big aisles, but man, I feel like when I get there, I'm like, if I don't keep moving, someone's going to get me. They're going to clip your ankles, run you over, and they're going to get the bread that you were looking for, whatever it is. But man, just like, go, 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 get what you can and get out of here. That's what I feel like when I get in there, at least. But Boaz was not in a hurry, but he was urgent to accomplish this very important matter. It meant a lot to him. He was not forced, but he was willing to show the grace and the love of God. So he was willing to redeem. But then he also needed to check with his near kinsman. So as you see in verse number 3, this man came and he tells him the matter of Naomi and the land to purchase. And he says in verse number 4, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if not, then tell me that I may redeem it. And he said, yes, I'll do it. I'll redeem it. I'll take the land. And he said, now hold on a second. He said, if you're going to redeem it, you also, in verse number 5, and it says, what day you buy the field of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. And he said, well, I can't do that because I don't want to mar mine own inheritance. So he was willing initially, but in the end he went, whoa, I'm not able to do that. And I don't think anything wrong about that. He was just not able to purchase that to be his own. He was unable. Have you ever gone to purchase an item and the purchase price seemed decent? Maybe you go to buy a car, a house, and you think, I could pay for that. And then you forget, oh, the interest payments. You're like, oh, never mind, I can't afford it now then. you get everything tacked on at the end. You're like, well, I thought I could do it, but after all, I can't. I'm too poor. Maybe someday, you know, maybe I'll get around to it. You realize, you know, the taxes, registration, license, all that fun stuff. He was willing, he wanted to redeem, but then he was not able to fulfill the duties that were required. And as you think about this again, that Jesus Christ was not only willing, but able to pay for our redemption. He's the only one. Remember, the Bible says, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he's the only one that could fulfill that duty to pay for our redemption. So first of all, this redemption, it involves a person. But next, it involves a price. No other person was able to pay the price of the redemption for both these fields. And the person that was near backed out. Now Boaz was next in line. And he said, okay, if you back out, I'm going to redeem it. Now you see a very interesting exchange agreement here. They weren't signing papers, initials, spitting on the hand, shaking hand, whatever things that people have done. But they find this very unusual agreement that you find in Scripture about taking your shoe off as an example of your giving your purchase. So do you go home with one shoe that day? I'm not sure how that works. I read that story, I'm like, why the shoe? I'm not exactly sure what it means. And if you're here to understand what the shoe thing meant, I don't know what it means, other than that's what it says in Scripture. But there was a price for redemption. I'd like to have you turn back to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. And I want to show you that there is always a price for redemption. And realize this, that nothing is ever free. I know that our government would like to tell us that things are free and give away phones and housing and food and healthcare and all those things. But know this, whenever you go to try to give something away for free, it costs someone else something. They get it for free and you get to pay for it. Isn't that a blessing when people spend your money for you? I'm always like, I voted against that. Why do I have to pay for it? But the price for redemption, we're going to look at the price of redemption in regards to the year of the Jubilee. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this this principle in Scripture, but in Leviticus 25:50, it says about this year of Jubilee. This year of Jubilee, it happened every 50 years. And if someone was a slave, they could be let go on that 50th year. Their debt was cleared. They were free. Whatever bondage they were in at that year of Jubilee, they became free. And so that's kind of the background to this passage. In Leviticus 25:50, it says, "And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold of him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of the sale shall be according to the number of years, according to the time of an hired servant shall it be with him. If there be yet many years behind according unto them, he shall give him again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for." So again, so this 50th year, let's say someone was purchased and there was 25 years till the year of Jubilee. If they wanted to go free, they had to pay for the 25 years that they still owed in bondage. So if there was 10 years left, 49 years left, they had to pay the remaining amount off. They didn't get to just walk away free for nothing. And it says, "And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count them. According unto his year shall he give him again the price of his redemption." So again, when Boaz is going to go purchase their fields, their inheritance, he had to purchase whatever remaining amount was left on there. Whatever the price was, we're not shown that, but he was willing to purchase this. Depending how many years were left until the year of Jubilee, it could be a lifetime of wages to pay that off. All this to say is this, that Boaz was not just willing, he was ready to pay whatever it took because of his love for Ruth. You know that God's love for you is immeasurable? Think about this for a minute. There's nothing that you could do to make God to stop loving you. Think about that for a minute. It doesn't matter how far you wander from God, where you came from, what you're doing, nothing can ever stop God from loving you. And that's why it hurts the heart of God when someone rejects him as their Savior. That's why it hurts the heart of God when one of his own children reject him and walk away. Because God, that picture, that as Boaz there, that he is willing to purchase the redemption, but could you picture Ruth saying, "You know what, as I think about it, no thank you." Like, what's there to think about? This is a great offer. He, you know, she obviously had a love for him, him for her, but she had to be willing to receive that grace and that redemption. And there's always a price to pay for the redemption, and there's always a price to pay for ours. So first of all, we see that this redemption, this grace enjoyed, it involves a person. Number two, it involves a price. But number three, it involves a place. We looked at it already, but as Boaz went to the gate, this was a common place to do business. The gate of the city where people are coming and going, maybe because there'd be extra witnesses there, maybe it was an easy meeting place, but this is the place where they met to do this transaction, if you will. I don't know if you ever have, you've ever sold things on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and all that, and you ever find it a little bit uneasy that you're sharing like your address and phone number, and a stranger coming to your house or going to theirs, you're like, I don't know you, but I might be able to make $5 off this item and endanger my family's life by having you come to my home. But you're like, it might be a good deal. and you get that meeting place. There's been a couple times we went to purchase something or sell something, and I'm not a paranoid person, but sometimes people are more, and they're like, I'm going to meet you in this busy parking lot in the middle of the day. And I'm like, okay, if you're good with that, I'm fine with it. I'll meet them there, and whatever the exchange is. And then you think, oh man, they know my name. They know where I live. I'm sure nothing bad could happen from that, right? We live in a safe world with all decent, moral people. Not really. But it involves a place, a meeting place where they got together to perform this transaction, if you will, for this property and for Ruth. As I think about this in regards to our redemption involved a place as well. How many of you have been able to visit the Holy Lands? You've been able to visit a couple here, a few here, just a few. I was wanting to visit, and then the craziness broke out there, and so I'm going to wait a little bit for things to calm down. Not sure when that would be, but I would love someday to go visit the Holy Lands to see the place where Jesus walked, to see the Sea of Galilee, to see the empty tomb, to see Calvary, to see the places where Jesus went. I know a lot of those places are now commercialized, and it's a big tourist area now. But still, to look at the places where Jesus actually walked, to see the place where Jesus was crucified, to see the place, the garden where he prayed, and to see the empty tomb, to see all those things would be incredible. But there had to be a place for our redemption. Our redemption could not have been paid for in heaven. You think about that? That God could have said, I forgive you all, and no, there was a payment needed. And that's why God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And there's that place of Calvary. There's a place of the empty tomb. There's a place where Jesus went back to apply the blood on the mercy seat for our salvation. The redemption, it took a person, it took a price, but there was a place. There was an actual place of our redemption. These aren't places for us to worship, but they're places for us to be thankful that Jesus was willing to go through all those judgment halls for us, that he was willing to go through all the beatings for us, that place of the cross, that lonely place that he went through for the payment for our salvation. It involves a place, but then lastly, it involves a process. It involves a process. It took some time. We looked at this purchase agreement, if you will. Look at verse number 6. Now that Boaz said, okay, if you're backing out, I'm stepping in the place to be the redeemer. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, it gives you a custom, a manner that they would go through. And it says, now this was the manner and former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And so he took this and went through the process of the purchase. Took off his shoe, handed it to the man, and said, I purchase this land and these people to now become my own. And he went through this purchase agreement. Turn, if you would, please, back over to the book of Deuteronomy. If you're not there, if you would turn back there for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy 25 and verse number 5. I'm still working at getting there as well. Deuteronomy 25 verse 5. The Bible says here, it says, if brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to do it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so it shall be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. That would be a little bit difficult to have your shoe stolen and spit in your face for not performing that duty. Sounds a little harsh. But then it says here in verse 10, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. So it would become a custom, a promise, that you would perform that duty and say, I'm performing the duty and I'm willing to redeem. They went through this purchase agreement with the elders there. They were the witnesses to the agreement of what would be done. And I'm thankful for this. Not only was Jesus willing to redeem again, but there was witnesses to Jesus' death. There was witnesses to Jesus' burial. There was witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, seen by over 500 at one time. And there were witnesses of the redemption that God paid for our salvation. We sang the song this morning, Redeemed, and redeemed is purchased, to be bought back. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Never forget the moment of your redemption. Never forget the day of your salvation where God reached down and bought and paid for your salvation and saved you. It shows the love and the mercy of God upon your life. And we're thankful for God's redemption. Grace enjoyed. They're getting to the point now where Boaz has made the purchase agreement. He's done all that he can. And in the next coming verses, we'll see that he would fulfill and complete that purchase, that redemption. And she would become his own. Remembering this, that Ruth would be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And what a great picture of God's grace on her life, but also what a great picture of God's grace on our lives as well. Grace enjoyed. Be thankful for the grace of God that you get to live in every single day. If we got what we deserved, we would not have what we have today. Sometimes they think, well, I deserve better. No, we don't. We deserve worse than what we have. We don't deserve the redemption and the love of God, but grace enjoyed. Everything that you have came from God. Everything good in your life has come from God, and I'm thankful for that. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll finish a couple minutes early. This morning, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We're thankful for your redemption, for your love. Help us, Lord, to never get over it. Help us, Lord, to ever be mindful of how good you've been to us for salvation, for the blessings in our life, for the plan that you have for our lives, for your will. And Lord, we're just so thankful for your love. Please bless this morning, and please be with the offering now as we take it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our offering, please, this morning.